Appreciate that song. You listen to that long enough, you'll surrender to go anywhere. It's also appreciate that last congregational special as well, or congregational song. It'll be worth it all. You got to believe that, because it doesn't always look as if it pays to serve the Lord in this life. It does. It just doesn't always look like it, which the world takes note of. But it's going to be worth it all one of these days. And when we see Him, everything is going to change. You know, I've said before, in that instant, everything we valued, everything we worried about, everything that we prioritized, all going to be put into perspective. We see the Savior's face for the very first time. Amen. It's going to be, can't even think about what that's going to be like when we see Him for the very first time. I think we'll say this maybe, man, I'm glad I got saved. Aren't you? I don't think anybody will go there and go, I don't think we're going to be let down. You ever bought anything and then been let down? I don't think we're going to be let down when we get to glory. I think it'll be far better than anything we could even begin to imagine, and it's going to be worth it when we get there. But I appreciate Brother Don Ivy coming and being with us. I said this morning in service that, I was told many years ago, if you're going to take off someplace for a week as a preacher, always have somebody preach for you when you get back, because if you don't, you spend the last 3 days while you're gone worrying about what you're going to preach on when you get back. And so I asked Brother Don Ivy to come. Appreciate him coming. He is not feeling well at all. He wasn't feeling well at all this morning, and he said he wasn't feeling any better tonight. So hold him up in prayer as he preaches. I gave him the offer for me to preach, and I kind of hope maybe he'd say yes, because I haven't preached in like a week, but he wants to preach. So we're going too late now. I told him, yeah, I'll preach for you up until 4 o'clock. I said, after 4 o'clock, you're on your own, so you better let me know before 4 o'clock. But he graciously has agreed to go ahead and preach tonight. And I'm just teasing. Appreciate Brother Ivy. I said this morning. I don't say it a lot. He's been a good friend of Calvary Baptist Church. And he and his wife, before she went home to be with the Lord, great friends of my wife and I. And count it a privilege to count him as a friend. And so you be in prayer for him as he comes tonight. So, Brother, why don't you come ahead and preach. And water's up there
again. I was just standing there thinking, last song, I appreciate the enthusiasm of this church. You know, I think we ought to be enthusiastic about what we're doing for the Lord. Amen? Amen. Yeah. I appreciate the music. I appreciate your pastor, his enthusiasm. And I just appreciate this church. It's a blessing to be here today. Brother Merrick asked me, he said, well, do you feel any better tonight? I said, no, I think I lost ground this afternoon. But I took a handful of ibuprofen, so by the grace of God, I'm going to make it. He said if I passed out in the pulpit, he had a guy who could do mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. If that happens, brother, just shoot me. Just get it over with, amen. All right, we're going to be in John chapter 3 tonight. Open your Bible there. I've heard preachers say sometimes if you have your Bible, open it. If you're in God's house, shouldn't have to say that. Just ought to be automatic. Amen. Ought to have the Word of God. I'm going to look in John chapter 3 tonight, a familiar scripture. Many of you, I'm sure, know it. You probably use it in dealing with people about the Lord. It says in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. I don't think there's any question that we have to be born again to go to heaven. Amen? The Lord just said it three times there. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Praise God for that. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Father, tonight we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your Son and for his willingness to come and give his life on Calvary and take upon him all the sins, the fallen race of Adam. Father, we thank you for eternal life through that shed blood tonight. We pray tonight, Father, if there's someone here that's never truly been saved and born again, I pray tonight the message might touch their heart. Lord, the might be conviction of the Spirit of God. They might come and be born again tonight. Lord, I ask you for your help tonight. Lord, for your strength. I know that the preaching of the Word of God is not determined by our physical strength, but by your strength and your power. And I ask, Lord, tonight you just help me and give me liberty and strength, Lord, to preach the message you've laid upon my heart tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to preach on this subject tonight. What does it mean to be born again? I don't even hardly use the word Christian anymore in dealing with people, because that's a pretty much a generic term, isn't it? Somebody's been to church over three times, they're a Christian in their eyes and in the thinking of our society today. But I'm telling you, a person must be born again. Someone asked George Whitefield one time, said, why do you preach so often on you must be born again? His answer was this: because you must be born again. Amen. And that's a good answer. Amen. And the most important question you will ever answer is, have you been born again? Yeah. I'm thankful for the Word of God and for the gospel. I have a good friend in Kent, Connecticut, man I served in Vietnam with, and he's been a burden on my heart for many years. I tried to witness to him, and he didn't have anything to do with it. So I made a trip up there. I drove up there in October last year, and I asked everybody to pray that God would open the door. I got up there, and we visited a while, and come Sunday, and there's an independent Baptist church not 10 miles from his house, and that's where we always go when we're up there. So I asked him, I said, would you take me to church? Because I thought maybe I'd get him to go with me. So we got over to church. No, he wouldn't. He didn't want anything to do with it. So when he picked me up, we was driving along, and I said, Tom, you're one of my best friends. And I said, I don't want to see you miss heaven. And I said, while I'm here, I'd like to take the Bible. He'd never let me open the Bible before. I said, I'd like to take the Bible And I'd like to show you the truth about what it takes to get to heaven. He's an Italian Catholic. And you know, he said, I'd like to do that. Long story short, we spent 2 hours in the Word of God that night. He's still not saved. But when we got through, he said, I can see the Catholic way is a lie. And he said, I can see the right way. And I'm just so thankful God opened that door for me. And what a privilege to give the gospel to anyone. And I would you'd pray for him, Tom Pasolacqua. He told me 3 or 4 times he thanked me for showing him that. The last thing he said before I drove out of the drive, he said, thanks again for showing me that in the Bible. But you know, the most important thing, or the greatest thing we can do for anyone, is tell them how to go to heaven. Now, without the new birth, you'll not escape the terrors of hell. You know, hell's a terrible place. You don't hear hell preached on much anymore. But I'm telling you, hell's a terrible place. It's a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's a place where a person dies for eternity, basically, but they never die. Suffer for an eternity. But if a person's going to escape the terrors of hell and enjoy the glories of heaven, I believe heaven's going to be a glorious place. I really do. I can't wait to get there. I turned 69 Thursday. I told somebody, I said, I don't know if I'll make 70 or not. Don't really matter to me. If I do, it'd be all right. If I don't, it'd be with the Lord. One of those kids that works back there at College Boys, his birthday was Thursday. He got to figure and he said, hey, he said, you're exactly 50 years older than me. He was 19. I said, thanks a lot. But the Lord said here in John chapter 3 that you must be born again. You know, in this computer age and technological society, and I've got one of these smartphones and I don't have a clue. I mean, when it comes to computers and electronics, I don't even have a computer at home. Don't want one. My wife had one. I give it to the kids when she went home to be with the Lord. But I'm not very technologically savvy on stuff. But you know, I'm afraid sometimes in this technological age that we have, you know, sometimes the simplest and most important things are missed. I know I talk a lot about work, but those college boys that work up with me, they go to MSU. You know, we'll have an order to pull and it'll say 72 24 by 24 furnace filters. There's 12 in a box. They've got to get their phone out and get out their computer to figure out how many boxes we need to pull. It's pretty simple. 6 times 12 is 72. And they could go in there on a computer and make my head swim with what they could do, but they can't do simple math. You ever went in a place and bought something and the cash register messed up and didn't tell them how much change to give you? Man, they panic. Amen? Can't do simple things. And you know, sometimes I think in our high-tech society that some of the simplest things are missed. You know, sometimes in our churches, dealing with the problems of the times, and I tell you, the problems of the times today are much different than they were 20 or 30 or 40 years ago. Amen. They are, they really are. And sometimes, you know, in dealing with the problems of our times, and they have to be dealt with, sometimes I think we fail to preach the simplest and most important messages. Some might say, well, preacher, John chapter 3, they's preaching that 30 years ago. That's a stale message. I'm telling you, it's fresher than it's ever been. Amen. And it's more needed than it's ever been today. Amen. Mankind is still sinful, and let me say, more sinful than I've ever seen in my lifetime. I cannot believe the things that are happening in America today. Yes. But let me say again, it's a must to be born again. You can ask many people who are, quote unquote, say they're Christian. If you ask them, well, what does it mean to be born again? They don't have a clue.
That's right.
They can't tell you. Mm-hmm. They don't know what it means to be born again. Well, some might say this is old-fashioned. It is old-fashioned. It's an old-fashioned message.
Yes.
But I'm telling you, it's needed in this modern world that we live in today. Some might say, well, we need messages on how to live the Christian life. And I would agree with that 100%. But you can't live the Christian life till you're born again.
Right.
I want to just look at some things concerning the new birth tonight. Number one, what's the new birth? Is not. You know, I'm surprised sometimes at how little people know from the Bible from our Baptist churches. I was sitting in Bass Pro. I was sitting in Bass Pro the other day drinking a cup of coffee, people watching. Some guy comes over and sits down by me, and I got talking to him, asked him where he's from. He said he was from Georgia. He's talking about me. He said, "What do you do?" I said, "Well, I pastored for over 30 years, and I'm still preaching, but I'm not pastoring anymore." And he said, "Well, I'm a deacon in a Baptist church." I said, "Really?" And we got to talking, and he said, "Let me ask you a question." He said, "Do you think people can really know for sure they're going to heaven?" I almost fell off my seat. I said, "Yes, sir, I sure do." But I mean, that's just an example. That was a Baptist church. I don't know what kind it was. But I'm telling you, the truth about eternal life and true salvation is not being taught and preached, even in some of our Baptist churches today. If a man's a deacon in a Baptist church, don't believe you can know for sure you're going to heaven, somebody's not teaching much, amen?
Right.
What the new birth is not. New birth is not religion. We live in a religious society. I kind of even hate to use the word religion because that's kind of a generic term. We think about Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a religious man. He was high up in their religion. And we live in a religious world. But you know, I find, and you know as well as I do, so many people today are looking for a religion, not a religion of the Bible, but a religion that fits their lifestyle.
Amen.
I had a man talking to me the other day, a neighbor said they have a big cowboy church up there. He said he goes to the cowboy church. He said there's no membership, there's nothing to join. You can wear what you want to. If you want to dip snuff during the services, nobody cares. That's what people are looking for. God help us. They even call that church. Some of the big, I hate to call them churches. Now they have these satellite churches, but they don't call them churches, and I'm glad they don't. They call them campuses up there. We got this campus and this campus and this campus. Well, I'm still a firm believer that the Lord established a church. Amen.
Amen.
We live in a religious society. People are looking for a religion that fits their lifestyle, and they can find it. But you know, even if a person is participating in a good church like this that preaches the truth and stands on the Bible, preaches the right things and right, what's right about being saved and having eternal life, you know, you can even be participating in this church and still not be born again. And I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt your salvation. That's the last thing I would want to do. And I'm telling you, this is a great church, and like I've said three or four times, I love coming up here. It's a great church, but I'm telling you, just being a member of this church or attending this church is not being born again. It's just not. Some people are looking to their religion. But we know the new birth is not religion. Some people make a resolution and make a resolve to do good, to keep the law. We know the Bible says nobody can keep it all, amen? But look in Galatians 2 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Even if you could keep all the law, still not going to get you to heaven. We're not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You know, that's just pretty simple. And if you don't even know anything about the Bible or understand much about the Bible, you can understand that.
Right.
My friend up in Connecticut, that's one thing, him being raised a Catholic, that's one thing he had a hard time till he finally seen it, that it's not in what we do. It's not in our works.
Right.
It's in what the Lord's already done for us. Keeping of the law. Some people resolve, I'm going to keep the law. I'm going to do everything right. Some say, well, I'm just going to live a good moral life, and that's a good thing. I tell you, the morality in our country today is, it's going down fast. But the Bible says, and we know Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, they call that the old Baptist rocking chair. I love to sit in it and rock. Amen? For by grace are you saved.
Amen.
Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast.
Amen.
People say, well, you go to church all the time. I guess you're trying to get to heaven. No. I'm going to church all the time because I know I'm going to heaven. Amen.
Right.
And I want to serve my Lord and my Savior.
Amen.
People say, oh, you Baptists, you think you're better than everybody else. I've had people say that to me. You know you're going to heaven. You think you're better than everybody else. I don't think I'm better than the worst drunk or dope addict you could find out here tonight. I just have seen and believed the truth from the Word of God.
Amen.
I've been born again. Some people, you know, they make a resolution or they make a reformation. Not going to sin anymore. Good luck on that one. I'm going to be a doer of good. It's good to do good, isn't it? You know, I live out in the country. If I see a neighbor loading cows or something or building a fence and he needs a little help, I'll stop and help him. Amen. And I think we ought to do good. The Bible tells us that. Notice, go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Ephesians 2:10 says we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And I think as a child of God, we should do good works. Amen?
Amen.
We really should. But you know, a lot of people base the fact whether they're going to heaven or not on their good works. My sister lives in Frisco, Texas, and She goes to a church of works. She says she's saved. I don't know if she is or not. She says she is. And she was telling me the other day that she had given so many $100 to buy mosquito nets for people over in another country. That was their missions. Got a guy at work. We was talking the other day, and he goes to a church of works. So they raised $13,000 a couple weeks ago to buy water filters to send to Africa so people could have good drinking water. If our pastor stood up and said, we've got a missionary over on the foreign field, and those people are getting bit by mosquitoes and they're all getting malaria, we need to buy some mosquito nets to help them out, I'd be the first one to raise my hand and say, let's do it. If we had a missionary somewhere needed a water filter so people could have decent drinking water, I'd be the first one to raise my hand and say, let's do it. But that's not mission work.
Right.
Mission work is going to a foreign field. Boy, they do so many things today under the heading of missions, don't they? The true mission work is when a man's called of God. He goes to a foreign country where God has called him. I still believe there's a call in a man's life. I'm old-fashioned. He goes there and he preaches the gospel. People get saved. He trains them. The church is established. That's real mission work. There's nothing wrong with doing good. There's nothing wrong with helping people. And I believe as God's people, we ought to do good. We ought to help people. I'll just say this and go on running by. I think we ought to help people that try to help themselves. We got a lot of panhandlers up in Springfield anymore. People that won't work. The Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. I was filling my car up with gas the other day, and a guy come over, looked healthy to me. He's about 30 years old. He said, hey, you got some money you can give me? I said, hey, do you work? He said, no. I said, why not? He said, well, I got a bad back. I said, man, I've had 2 spine surgeries. Both ankles broke. I've had cancer. I've got a brain tumor. I'm 68 years old, and I worked 8 hours. Don't tell me you can't work. That sounds mean. He left. I didn't want to be ugly to the guy, but hey.
Right.
You know, I think we ought to help people if they need help, but I think people ought to work. Amen. But these good works will not get us to heaven. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Let me say, the new birth is not religion. You know, when I got saved, some people say, oh, he got religion. I'd say, no, I got salvation. I was 26 years old when I was saved. I was in a religion of works, been in it my whole life. I got rid of religion when I got saved, amen. The new birth is not religion. The new birth, what is a new birth? Well, first of all, it's a reality that can't be denied. Jesus said three times in our text, you must be born again. If the Lord said it three times, if He said it once, it's important as far as I'm concerned. But He said it three times there just in about five or six verses. You can't deny the fact that the only way to heaven is to be born again. Jesus said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. I'm telling you tonight, if you've never been born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. Somebody says, well, that's pretty simple, preacher. Well, it is, but it's true. Amen? Amen. Go to Mark chapter 5. Let's look at a Bible example. We go to Mark chapter 5. This is an account of the Gadarenian demoniac here. I'm sure most of you are familiar with this story, this account. I shouldn't call it a story, it's an account. Something that actually happened.
Amen.
Notice in verse 1 through 4, man couldn't help. Couldn't help this man. He run around the tombs, he cut himself. They tried to help him, but they couldn't help him. Verse 1 says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, speaking of Jesus, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. And that is dwelling among the tombs. I don't know about you, but I don't really want to live in a graveyard. Amen. No man can bind him. No, not with chains. They tried to tie him up with chains and bind him to try to, I guess, get him back to his senses or whatever. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Nobody could help him. But you look in verse 5 and 6, he came to Jesus. Boy, I'm so thankful I came to Jesus. You know, I wasn't looking for him, but he was looking for me. Thank God he was looking for me. Verse 5 says, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. He came to Jesus. And Jesus did not what no man could do. Verse 8 says, for he saith unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. He asked him, what is thy name? He answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. He besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. This is a great miracle, folks. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. The herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. And he had the legions sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Amen. Jesus did what man could not do. Man can't make us born again. Man can't save us. I know you've got men on TV that say, you know, send us some money and, you know, we'll see that you're saved. I've had people tell me, I've asked them, you know, have you ever been saved? Yeah, some preacher saved me, they'd say. I've heard all kinds of things. I had people say, I say, are you saved? Yeah, I got sick one time and almost died, and the Lord healed me. But I said, are you saved? Well, the Lord healed me. That's not salvation. That's not being born again. I've had a guy tell me one time he saw a vision in the hallway and he was saved. That's not what the Bible says. I don't care what you've seen or what you've done, my friend. If you're not born again, you're going to miss heaven. It's simple as that. When you're saved, and I kind of preached on this a little bit this morning, it's the beginning of a new life. You know, new life always gets a lot of attention, doesn't it? My wife was there for, I got 8 grandchildren, my wife was there for the birth of every one of them. And we found out she had cancer the second time. The doctor said 6 months to a year. And I asked the Lord, let my wife live long enough to see our little granddaughter born and to see my youngest daughter graduate from nursing school and become an RN. You know God allowed that. My wife was there they'd have the pinning of the nurses where they'd give them their pin. My wife was there to go down and pray with her that night when they did the pinning. And you know, my little granddaughter was born, you know where my wife was? Just like she was with the other 7. She's standing there with the ear to the door. Huh. I hear some crying. What can a little old baby just cause so much trouble? You ever seen the like of it? I mean, you talk about stirring things up, amen? Always a lot of attention when new life comes, isn't there? But you know, when you're saved, you begin a new life. It will be worth it all. Praise God when we see Jesus. Man, that's a great song. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I've been saved 43 years. I'm telling you, I've had a great life. God's been good to me. So good to me. And I tell you, the Christian life is the greatest life there is. Amen. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, I think we might have looked at one or two of these scriptures this morning. We're going to look here again tonight for just a minute. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. I says, why do you go to church? Why do you serve God so much? Because He loved me and I love Him. Amen? That word constrained means compels us. You're not here tonight because you have to be. Nobody made you come tonight. You came here on your own free will. You came here on your own because of the love of Christ. Because He loved you and He saved you. And you want to serve Him. It says, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live in themselves. Let me tell you, Christ, when He died on the cross, He died for every sinner. Right. And this thing that some people believe, that some people are destined to heaven and some people are destined to hell, is not the truth. Amen. When Christ died on the cross, He died for every individual. Right. He predestined every person to heaven. But it's up to you whether you take advantage of it or not. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says, wherefore that they which live should not henceforth live in themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. We don't serve God because we have to. Wherefore, henceforth, you know, we don't live unto ourselves, it says, themselves. You ever get sitting in your recliner on Sunday afternoon and it comes about church time and it's cold outside and the wind's blowing and you think, man, it'd be nice just to sit here tonight? Probably nobody's ever done that. But you get up and come to the house of God because you know that's where you need to be and you want to be there. Verse 17, we know this scripture says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The next day when I went to work, after the night I got saved, the people I worked with said, "What happened to you?" They did. They asked me, "What happened to you?" I mean, God so drastically changed my life. And man, for the better. Amen? For the so much better. An old creature, new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us a ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and not committed unto us, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassador is a representative. We have embassies in different countries around the world, and we have an ambassador there that represents our country. And we as God's people, we're ambassadors for Christ. We're his representative. And it's so utmost important how we represent him. You know, the new birth is the greatest thing that ever happens to us. I've had a lot of great things happen to me. I married my wife. That was a great thing. Don't know how I ever got her. I think she had a weak moment. I think when I asked her to marry me, I think she said, "Do you want to go out and eat?" She said, "Yes." I'm not sure. The birth of my children were great things, and my grandchildren. But I tell you, the greatest thing that ever happened to me was the night when I got saved. I was born again. And God changed my life. So drastically. My family said, "Man, he's went off the deep end." Brother Gray said, they might call me a nut for Jesus, but I'm screwed onto the right bolt. I remember him saying, "You remember that, brother?" "I may be a nut for Jesus, but I'm screwed onto the right bolt." The new birth is receiving God's nature and becoming a child of God. Beginning of a new life. Beginning of a life of representing him to the lost world. The new birth, it takes conviction. Person not under conviction, you know this thing of knocking on somebody's door and they try to slam the door and you stick your foot in the door and try to make them be saved. That's not what the Bible says. It says we're to sow the seed and give them the gospel. It's up to the Spirit of God to convict their heart. There must be conviction. Then there must be repentance. True repentance. You know, repentance is like just turning around, isn't it? Turn from your sin and your sinful ways and you turn to God. Salvation takes faith. Believing in him and that he will save you if you ask him. Somebody says, "Well, why do you have to be born again?" Because Jesus said so. Amen. I can't think of a better reason than that. He said it three times right here in our text. You must be born again. The new birth is forgiveness of sin, and it's a promise of eternal life. I'm thankful I know I'm going to heaven. Praise God. People ask me at work sometimes, different places, "Well, what do you know for sure?" I say, "Well, the only thing I know for sure is that I'm saved and going to heaven." They look at you like a calf looking at a new gate. What are you talking about? You must have the new birth to enjoy God's heaven. You know, a sad thing, a person that's religious all their life and attend church and they die and go to hell. What a sad thing. That would have been me had the Lord not saved me. I was faithful to quote unquote church. You know, in all those 26 years I was in that church, nobody ever showed me how to be saved. Nobody ever showed me the truth from the Bible. All I was taught was just work as much as you can and be good. Except by the grace of God, if I would have continued on in that, I would have died and went to hell without any hope. You know, being born again is not of blood or in your bloodline. You say, "Well, preacher, you don't understand. My great-great-grandpa was the first Baptist preacher in Missouri." Don't matter. Right. My grandpa was a Baptist preacher. My dad's a Baptist preacher. Don't matter. You must be born again. Amen. It's not in our bloodline. John chapter 3 and verse 4 in our text, Nicodemus saying unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? He didn't understand, did he? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, speaking of the physical birth, and of the spirit, speaking of the spiritual birth, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. My friend, there's no question about it. He said, you can't go to heaven. You can't enter the kingdom of God without the new birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. The physical birth through the bloodline does not get us to heaven. It takes the blood of Christ. Amen. That was shed on Calvary. We become children of God by the new birth. Not by the will of the flesh. Go to John chapter 1 real quick. I'm going over here, but it's just about done here. But go to John chapter 1 real quick. Verse 11 says, in John chapter 1, he came into his own received him not. They hung him on a cross, didn't they? Crucified him. But as many as receive him, there it goes again, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Folks, think about that. If you're saved tonight, you're a child of God. Amen. You're in the family of God tonight. Amen? Amen? There's a difference in the family of God and the church of God. People get that mixed up. But if you're saved tonight, you're in the family of God. You've been birthed into the family of God. Just as I was birthed into the Ivy family. I'll always be an Ivy. I can't change that. Up in Connecticut, there's a guy up there that my friend knows, does some work for, and he got married and he took his wife's name, last name. I said, really? He said, yeah, his wife's dad is some big banker up there and he wants to get into politics, so he figured her last name would be better than his. I thought, man, how messed up is that? Of course, they do a lot of things up there that I don't know. That part of the country I don't understand. They think I'm a hillbilly from the deep woods, man. They ask me all the time, where are you from, you know? I ordered something one time and the lady heard me talking. There's another lady over here. She said, where in the world are you from? I said, I live over here in Jersey. And she said, no, you don't. But they, I don't know how I got off on that, but they think I'm a different animal up there. I guess I am. Verse 12 says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And notice this, here's what I want you to see. Which were born not of blood, not through the bloodline, nor of the flesh, for of the will of man, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. Now I'm telling you, you can have a man lay hands on you, you can have a man pray some prayer for you, but my friend, that will not get you to heaven. Not by the will of man. No man can make you a child of God.
That's right.
I know your pastor is a godly man and he's a great preacher. Amen. He stays by the stuff. Amen. But he can't save you.
That's right.
He can give you the message to be how to be saved and praise God, he does. But he can't save you. It's not by man. Not by the will of man. It says, but it's of God. But of God, there in the last part of verse number 13. Let me say, the new birth is 100% of God and 0% of man.
Amen.
You must be born of the Spirit. You must be born again. Somebody says, well, when should you be born again? Tonight.
Amen.
Now's the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Your life is even a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. And the older I get, the more I understand that.
Amen.
Life goes by fast. It vanishes away. When should I get saved? Now, before it's eternally too late.
Amen. That's right.
Jesus could come tonight.
That's right.
Somebody said, do you really believe that? Yes, I do.
Amen.
If he comes tonight and you're not born again, you're going to miss heaven.
That's right.
Once you die, it's too late to be saved.
That's right.
The time to be saved is now, right now. We're going to give an invitation. And if you're here and you've never been born again, you've never been saved by the blood of Christ, come tonight. Don't put it off. I'm thankful I was saved when I was 26 years old. I'm thankful I didn't put it off that night. When I was shown the truth from the Word of God, God dealt with my heart. I'd already heard a gospel message that Sunday before, and God had been dealing with me about it. I'm so thankful I didn't put it off. Because if I would have put it off that night, I might have never been saved. The old devil might have seen to that, amen. But I ask you tonight in closing, have you been born again? Not have you been religious? Not do you read your Bible? Amen. Have you been born again?
Amen.
By the blood of Christ.